Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Hello, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I want to address something Tom just said, which is, in fact, that woke is supposed to advance equity in Europe. So here's the definition of equity, and see if it sounds like a definition of anything else you've ever heard of. The definition of equity comes from the public administration literature. It was written by a man named George Frederickson. And the definition is an administered political economy in which shares are adjusted so that citizens are made equal. Does that sound like anything you've heard of before? Like socialism? They're going to administer an economy to make shares equal. The only difference between equity and socialism is the type of property that they redistribute, the type of shares. They're going to redistribute social and cultural capital in addition to economic and material capital. And so this is my thesis when we say, what is woke? Woke is Maoism with American characteristics, if I might borrow from Mao himself, who said that his philosophy was Marxism-Leninism with Chinese characteristics, which means woke is Marxism. And it's a very provocative statement. It's something you will certainly hear it is not, that it is different. And the professors and the philosophers will spend a large amount of time explaining to you why. No, it's about economics when it's Marxism. This is social. This is cultural. This is different. It's not different. I need you to think biologically for one moment, and I don't mean about your bodies. We could do that. That's a different topic. I want you to think how we organize plants and animals when we study them. They're species, but above species, there are the genus of the animals. So you think like the cats, all the cats, but you have tigers, you have lions, you have house cats, you have whatever, leopards, many different kinds of cats. If we think of Marxism as a genus of ideological thought, then classical economic Marxism is a species. Radical feminism is a species in this same genus. Critical race theory is a species in this genus. Queer theory is a species in this genus. Post-colonial theory that's plaguing Europe is a species in this genus. And they have something that binds them together called intersectionality that makes them treated as if they are all one thing. But the logic is Marxist, and I want to convince you of that. Because Marx had a very simple proposition, but we get lost. We think that Marx was talking about economics because he often talked about economics. He wrote a book called Capital. It's a very famous book. And we think, well, this is about economic theory. But this isn't true. It's only true on the surface. If we go below the surface, what Marx was talking about was something different. We know what Marx's hypothesis was that we must seize the means of production if we're going to bring socialism to the nations, to the world. We have to seize the means of production. So we have to ask, what does he mean? And if we think that it's about capital, then we miss what he means. If you think it's about the means of production in the factory with a hammer and the means of production in the field with a sickle, then you miss what it means. Because Marx explained what makes human beings special in his earlier writings. And what makes human beings special is that man is a being that is incomplete and knows that he is incomplete. He is a man whose true nature has been forgotten to him, which is social being. He is a socialist at heart who doesn't realize it. And the reason he doesn't realize it is because of the economic conditions operating as the means of construction or production, not just of the economy, but of him. But of man, of society, and particularly of history. Marx said that he had the first scientific study of history. How is history produced? By man, doing man's activity. And man's key activity was economic activity, as he saw it. And so economic production doesn't just produce the goods and services of the economy, it produces society itself. And society, in turn, produces man. He called this the inversion of praxis. And so when he says we must seize the means of production, and he's talking about factories and fields, he's actually talking about how we construct who we are as human beings so that we might complete ourselves, so that we might complete history. And at the end of history, mankind will remember that he is a social being, and we will have a socialist society. A perfect communism that transcends private property, is how he put it. He said, in fact, that communism is the transcendence of private property as human self-estrangement. That's a quote from the Economic Philosophic Manuscripts of 1844. So Marx was interested in controlling or understanding and controlling how man produces himself. And he writes about this exclusively in the 1840s. Very deeply. How do we do this? And he looks at the economic conditions and he says, this is where it is. And that's why we get economic Marxism. And that's why we think Marx was an economist. But Marx was never an economist. He was a theologian. He wanted to produce a religion for mankind that would supersede all of the religions of mankind and bring him back to his true social nature. And this is the true fact of Marx. And what the goal was, like I said, is to complete man. So what he said is, well, how are we building man currently? All of his economic analysis is about how are we building man at present through what he called material determinism. And he said, well, what we have is a special form of private property in our society. Our society is organized around private property. And so all of our thoughts organize around private property. In other words, there's a special kind of property that the bourgeois elite class has access to, and then they organize society to exclude everybody else from access to that property through exploitation, through alienation, through estrangement, through oppression. And so what Karl Marx was proposing is that economics becomes a vehicle to separate society into a bourgeois class that has access to a special form of property. The people who have access wish to retain that, so they oppress people and keep other people out of that special form of property. They erect a system of classism to do that. It's enforced by an ideology called capitalism that believes that this is the right way to engage in the world. And what we have to do is awaken the underclass, the proletariat, to the real conditions and the fact that they are historical agents of change, and bring them to do a revolution and transform society so that we would have equity or socialism, whichever word you want. They have the same definition. Now, let's say that we step out. We step back from this species, this economic species, Homo economicus, and we step back to the genus and we look at this idea, a special form of property that segregates society into people who have the bourgeois and the people who do not have, who are in class conflict with an ideology that keeps this in place. And the underclass must awaken with consciousness to fight back and to seize the means of production of that form of deterministic property. And now we say, change out class, put in race, and watch, we get critical race theory falls out of the hat, just like that. Very simple. In 1993, Cheryl Harris wrote a long article for the Harvard Law Review called Whiteness as Property. She explained that whiteness or white privilege constitutes a kind of cultural private property. She says it must be abolished in order to have racial justice. Just like Karl Marx said that in the Communist Manifesto, he wrote, communism can be summarized in a single sentence, the abolition of private property. Well, this is why critical race theory calls to abolish whiteness, because whiteness is a form of private property. People who have access to this property are whites or white adjacent, or they act white. These are words out of the American lexicon that they've used to describe how people gain access to the private property. People without that are people of color, and they are oppressed by systemic racism. Systemic racism is enforced by an ideology of white supremacy. Instead of capitalism, if you think of whiteness as a form of cultural capital, white supremacy, as they define it, is identical to capitalism. It's the belief, it's not believing that white people are superior. It's believing that white people have access to the control of society and should maintain that. Even if you don't actually believe that, if you merely support that, you have adopted the ideology of white supremacy into your mind. And so you have the exact same system. And the goal is to awaken a racial consciousness in people so that they will band together as a class and seize the means of cultural production so that white cultural production is no longer the dominant mode. It's a big mystery in Europe, I know, in the UK, throughout Europe, I hear this question again and again. Why on earth is this very American phenomenon about slavery and so on that doesn't apply to our country? Why is it popular here? It's because it's not about history at all. It's not about slavery at all. Those are excuses that they use. It's about creating a class consciousness that's against this form of property called whiteness, that's against the dominant culture that may just be a matter of fact, say, if you're in Europe. That's why. Because it becomes a site by which people can come together and they can channel resentment and try to claim power. I wrote a book called Race Marxism, and I defined critical race theory as it really is in that book on the first page. I said that critical race theory is calling everything you want to control racist until you control it. But couldn't we say the same about Marxism? It's calling everything you want to control bourgeois until you control it. But those mean the same thing. They mean exactly the same thing. But what about, say, queer theory? How is that Marxist? It's very strange, all this gender and sex and sexuality. Well, Tom said, what is woke attack? The idea of being normal. Well, the queer theory thinks that there are certain people who get to set the norms of society. They are privileged. They call themselves normal. They say this is normal. It's normal to consider yourself a man and look like a man and act like a man and dress like a man and eat meat like a man. And then there are women that should be feminine and pretty and all these things. And so they get to define what's normal. They're heterosexuals, so they get to define the heterosexuality as normal and other sexualities are abnormal. And so you have a conflict across this cultural property of who gets to be considered normal and who is a pervert or a freak or some other term that gets used in their literature. But technically, who is a queer? Which sounds like a slur, but they adopted it, and it's a technical academic term now. It means an identity without an essence, by the way. An identity that is strictly oppositional to the concept of the normal, as defined by queer theorist David Halperin in his 1995 book, Saint Foucault, Toward a Gay Hagiography. I didn't make that up. I'm not extrapolating. So you see, queer theory is just another species of the genus of Marxism. What about post-colonial theory, which is plaguing Europe, thanks to Frantz Fanon and his biggest European fan, Jean-Paul Sartre? What about this? Well, it's the same. You have the West as the oppressor. They have access to the material and cultural wealth of the world because they've decided their culture is the default and have gone and colonized the world to bring culture to the world, as they say. And so the oppressed, the natives around the world, the people have to band together, and their activity is going to be called decolonization. They have to remove every aspect of Western culture. So when they come to Belgium or they come to France or they come to the United States and they say we're going to decolonize the curriculum, or they go to the UK and say we're going to decolonize Shakespeare, this is what they mean. We're going to remove the cultural significance of your cultural artifacts because those cultural artifacts themselves are oppressive to us. This is the same system. It's another species in the exact same genus. And that genus is Marxism, which is a way of thinking about the world. And the goal is always to seize the means of control of the production of man and history and society. Marx merely believed it was through economic means. Now it's through socio-cultural means. The evolution into this sometimes called Western Marxism began in the 1920s. We had a Russian Revolution in 1917, and this did not happen in Europe. And the Marxists in Europe were confused. And so Antonio Gramsci sat down and wrote out some things. And George Lukács sat down and wrote History and Class Consciousness after the failure of the revolution in Hungary. And they wrote what became cultural Marxism. The idea that we have to enter the cultural institutions in order to change them from within, because Western culture has something about it that's repelling socialism. So we have to go inside and change the culture to make it socialist. Now, you aren't allowed to talk about cultural Marxism now. They've categorized this as a conspiracy theory. They say that it is anti-Semitic. This is not true. Antonio Gramsci wrote books. George Lukács wrote books. You can read those books. They have a philosophy. If they don't like the name cultural Marxism, we can use the name that other people at the time used, Western Marxism. So much like I don't know, a virus adapting to the conditions. It changed to try to infect a new host. It worked in feudal societies.
All right, so we're going to stop right there. As some of you may know, Pastor Ernie and I were a couple of the first people on radio to talk about cultural Marxism. As he was bringing that up, it was the started off. It was multiculturalism. It was also called political correctness, and they were talking about their controlling the language, controlling the people, building resentment, dividing and conquering. You see, again, just remember, equity, although it is socialism, is equal outcomes. And to get to this culture war that they were setting up, the first thing they did was create what was called political correctness. And it's, well, totalitarian philosophy. And it was a attack on common sense. It was an attack on conscience. It was an attack on language manipulation. You by now should be aware that whoever controls the words and definitions in a debate usually wins the debate. Those Antonio Gramsci and George Lukacs came up with the idea that it was Western culture, Western civilization, and the Christian religion that blinded this working class to the, you know, to its true Marxist class interest that, well, communism was going to be impossible in the West until both could be destroyed. So they started off with asking the question, who will save us, the communists, the Marxists, from Western civilization? Who will save us from Western civilization? I don't know, some of you, if you're old enough, remember back in the 60s, there, the University at Berkeley, they were chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho, Western Civ has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Western Civ has got to go. Yeah, the Cultural Revolution, the Marxist Revolution would destroy Western civilization. It would destroy the culture, which is God, family, country, starting with God, the family, and, you know, through the Christian religion. So this is the really extension of Marxism, which was brought to America in a form of cultural Marxism. And now they are using this equity, DEI, inequality, you know, all these different terms that they're coming up with, but it's nothing more than a means to divide the people, create resentment, conquer. They're using this wokeness, and wokeness is nothing but a fight against normalcy. It's a spiritual battle against God. It's a spiritual battle against the commandments of God, the teaching of the gospel, the New Testament. And all this is about controlling you, making an equal outcome for all, regardless of the amount of effort, work, ability that you have. And Biden is using, as the big wedge to bring this about, he's using the Green New Deal. This is the means of control. The means of control. They're going to start, what, controlling the energy. They want to get rid of, we've talked about this previously, get rid of natural gas. And first they start with oil and coal. Then it's this nice, clean, natural gas. Oh, we got to get rid of it. You know, we want everything electric. Well, how we get our electric power? Oh, we're going to build all these windmills and solar, you know, plants. And yeah, it's all about who controls the power, controls the people. Who controls the food supply, controls the people. They want to control the fertilizer. They want to, we've talked about how they want people to quit eating beef. Remember the mayor of New York? They want to have people start a plant-based diet. Don't eat meat. Cattle put out methane gas. The cattle are ruining the environment. They're using the destroying the environment thing to scare you into going along with their control, you're giving up your freedom, you're giving up your energy, you're giving up your way of life. They want you to give up air conditioning. They want you to give up gas stoves for cooking. They want only certain kinds of appliances. It's, folks, all about control. That's what everything comes so they can affect an equal outcome for everyone. And I want to remind everybody, I got a couple minutes. They started this long ago, and they started using fear. They found out that fear was one of the best ways to motivate people. Kind of, you remember COVID? They used fear. Oh, you've got to wear your mask. You've got to keep your social distancing. Oh, we're going to have to, you know, close the schools. We're going to have to close down the jobs. They use your fear of becoming ill, possibly dying from COVID. They use fear to what? Control. And did you notice how easily the country listened, how the country started being obedient? We almost destroyed our entire economy. We lost a couple of years of schooling for our children. The children are now overweight, dysfunctional, taking drugs, or many are in therapy, medication. It's been a disaster, but they use the tool of fear. So now the big thing that they're using, they continue to use that, but now they're using the climate. Oh, you know, the world's going to come to an end. We've got to save the Mother Earth, and we've got to do all this to save the climate. I know I told you this before, but I'm going to hit a couple of these. Clear back, 1923, New York Times. The Arctic ice was melting, and a radical change in climate conditions, hitherto unheard of temperatures, glaciers disappearing, land covered with ice is bare. I'll scare her. Okay. It's global warming time, 1923. Then, in 1974, space satellites show the new ice age is coming fast. That was several papers like the London Daily Mail, The Guardian, some others. 1978, a team of specialists concluded that the 8 indexes of climate, that there is no end in sight to the cooling trend of the last 30 years. We're going to possibly go into another ice age. No, that was 78, January 78. Now, February 79, there's a possibility that people now in their infancy will live to a time when ice at the North Pole will have melted, a change that would have caused swift and perhaps catastrophic changes in the climate. They went from, we're going to have an ice age, to a year and a month, to, oh, the ice is going to melt. Then you go to the year 2000. Snowfalls are a thing of the past. They're going to be a thing of the past. No more snow. February 2004, major European cities could sink into the ocean. Britain would descend into a Siberian climate. Wait a minute, Siberian climate, that's cold, right? Oh, okay. Then we go to 2007. The Arctic Ocean could be free of ice in the summer as soon as 2010. We went from Britain could be into a Siberian climate by 2020 to by 2010, we're going to be free of ice. Do you start to see a picture here? Everything's about fear. The answer was give government the control, give power to the government. The government will fix things. April 2008, North Pole will be ice-free this year. Oh. Yeah, that was April to June. The pole may be free of ice for the first time in history. Then he jumped to 2014. The end of snow. New York Times op-ed talking about declining snowpack in the western United States. Remember the snow they got in Southern California this year? Just thought I'd mention it. December 2021, the LA Times. No snow. California would come, you know, there will be no snow in California. So you can see that all they've done, remember back Stanford, Paul Yurick, Ehrlich, Stanford University biologist, way back. The United States would be rationing water by 1974. By 1980, they would be rationing food because of the climate. That's just a few highlights. They lie. They use fear to intimidate. They get you to do something because you're afraid if you don't listen to them, don't obey them, all these terrible things are going to happen. I'm sorry, folks, but all this is one big, sad, sick joke. It is. It's a sad, sick joke that's being perpetrated on the people. If you remember earlier in the program, one of the articles I talked about was the falling away of the faith, even the born-again believers falling away and the different things that they, shocking shift among born-again believers. And I saw some headlines. No kidding, U.S. writer founds new church to worship abortion. From MSN.com, and this is a gender-neutral God to be considered. The Church of England is debating over whether to launch a project on gendered language, referencing God in church services, making gender-neutral God. God is not he. God is gender-neutral. God is an it. Then there was a large article out in Time.com, the case for making Earth Day a religious holiday. There are several environmental activists that want to make Earth Day a religious holiday because we're worshiping the Earth. The Earth is our mother. The Earth is the thing that gives us life. Okay? We've seen what now? Biden, one of Biden's appointees, and I'm trying to remember here where it is, Dr. Mackenzie Lystrup, was brought in to head the NASA Space Flight Center, sworn into office. This was back April. He chose to be sworn in not on the Bible, but on a book by Carl Sagan, by Carl Sagan. Think about that. Making an oath to an atheist. This is taking an oath of office, not on the Bible, but on a book by Carl Sagan. And, of course, we've seen what this year? Attacks on U.S. churches all across the country. There have been 69 so far this year documented acts of hostility, placing the U.S. on a course for probably the worst record of violence against churches in our history. There was a story out, Hostility Against Churches, a supplemental report by the Family Research Council, and it's just basically gone out. These acts against churches have been on the rise, and as the number of believers fall, as faith in the gospel falls, we have more and more hostility against the church. There were 53 acts of vandalism, 10 arson attacks or fires with unknown causes, 3 gun-related incidents, 3 bomb threats, and 2 other situations of assault with weapons. This is what's happening to America. We are a nation that's falling away from our God, from our faith. And God has lifted his hedge of protection away from us as a nation. Not individual believers, but as a nation because of what? Our attitudes. And he's letting us suffer the folly of our choices of leadership, our choices in theology, philosophy, worldview, and we now are living in this insane world where a child can say, I was born in the wrong body. I'm a boy. I was born with male genitalia, but I'm really a girl, and I want to become a girl. Even though every cell in his body says he's male, that child is almost godlike in the fact that I can change what God made me, and I can be anything I want. We are losing it mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and the children are going to suffer more than anything. And through our children, I can think of no thing that should be any more painful to parents than things that hurt their children, things that destroy their children. We're coming up to a break. We're going to have a whole lot more coming. So I think here in just a few seconds, we are going to have a song, and I'll be back in just a few minutes.
Sin is a burning thing. It has a deadly sting. Pleasure is a burning desire, but it will take you to the lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher, and you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. You'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Christ is a saving king. He'll keep you from that sting. Sin is a burning desire. To that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire.
All right, we're back. This is Pastor Joe Larson. I'm sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders tonight, who's out with a little allergy problem, kind of lost most of his voice, and he's getting a well-deserved rest. He had enough problems recovering from his shoulder surgery. And I can relate. I'm having some problems speaking, too, because of the allergies. I have been better off than he is, but not doing all that well. So thank you for putting up with the both of us. And you might just keep Pastor Ernie in prayers. He's still recovering from the shoulder surgery, and he would love to get his voice back. I'm going to take some calls in a minute, but there was one more story I wanted to get in because it kind of ties in with so much of what the topic's been tonight. And that was where Biden came out, and in a way, he was actually claiming ownership of Americans' kids. He was declaring that everyone, especially teachers, you know, has ownership of all children. He used a statement from teacher Rebecca Peterson, and he kind of adopted it, you know, used it. He said, Rebecca put a teacher's creed into words when she said, there is no such thing as someone else's child. No such thing as someone else's child. Our nation's children are all our children. You know, this is that equity. This is that socialism. If you look back, the Hitler and the Nazis set up youth groups, started controlling the youth, got the young girls to become pregnant, have babies for the Reich, put the young boys in training, got control of the children. And all through history, these groups have always started off controlling the children. If you control the children, you control the future. And even Abraham Lincoln said, the philosophy in the classroom in one generation can become the philosophy of government in the next. So what Biden is trying to say is he wants this transformation of our society, and with the idea, like Hillary Clinton, it takes the village to raise a child. No, it takes a mother and father in holy matrimony to raise a child created in the image of God. It's a gift from God, and it's a parent's duty to raise that child and teach the child about our Lord and Savior, about Scripture, about the gospel, and bring them up so that they want to become part of the kingdom of God. And it's not the school. The teachers are not going to be the ones who witness to your children, who give them God's word. And that's why I think Pastor Ernie way back was one of the first people calling for get your children out of the public school system, you know, homeschool, Christian school. And as I look at the news headlines today, it does nothing but get worse and worse and worse in the public school system. And if you look at the teachers' unions, what are they pushing? Diversity, equity, inclusion. They're pushing white, you know, supremacy, racism, environmentalism, everything that goes against the word of God. Your children are not property of the state. This is not the Soviet Union. This is not communist or socialist Germany. And they're going to go after the children. They want control of the children. And folks, you have to stand up for your children, for your parental rights. You have to take back the school boards. You have to, you know, if you can't get your children into homeschool or Christian school, you have to take back the public school system. There is no alternative, no plan B, C, D type of thing. If we lose our children, we lose our constitutional republic. We lose America as you know it. This is a spiritual battle for the heart and soul of this nation. And it's going to be one with prayer. It'll be one with sacrifice. We're going to have to fast and pray. We're going to have to get out there and do what God has commanded us to do. Now, I do believe you said, Kyle, we have a caller already online. We can open the phones, but you said, oh, okay, well, bring on the first one. Steve, how are you?
Hey, Pastor Joe. Yeah, I was kind of wondering if Pastor Sanders wasn't there. I mean, Coach and everybody else, they're, you know, who's on there, everybody does a good job, but I think they'll all agree with me. You're the best fill-in because, you know what, you got to go with Pastor Sanders. You know, you guys go back and forth. You kind of fill that void, plus taking care of yourself there. So you're doing pretty darn good. You really are.
Yeah. Well, I really messed up tonight. When I had that bad accident a couple of years ago, my hands don't have a lot of feeling, and I have to prepare by having I use paper clips and scripture so I can get to the pages because often I can't turn them. And tonight I had an accident. I picked up the Bible, kind of slipped and fell, and I knocked all my paper clips out, and I got kind of lost. I couldn't figure out where I was. And it took a few minutes to get myself back on track, so I apologize for that. But
Well, you
I hopefully got it back and got the message out.
Well, you know you're still old school when you lost all your paper clips.
Yeah, well, it could have been worse, right? I could have lost my marbles. But somebody said I already did that years ago.
You're still standing because you can't walk on marbles. That's a proven thing.
Right.
Hey, you know, when you talk about the village and all that, I think the Democrats have proved it takes a village to raise a whole bunch of idiots because they all got ESP, extremely stupid people. I mean, these are our kids. They're not your kids. They're our kids. That phrase right there, Steve Bannon in the war room, but the girls, the women he's got on there now, that phrase scared them. And I mean, they are on the school boards, whatever. Really shook a lot of states and a lot of red states. And
I hope it did, because I've gone back and taught several times in the past about the history of education in the world. And you go all the way back to Sparta. They took the children away from the parents and they raised them to be loyal to the state. That's how they built the Spartan army. They got control. It was always that the children were to serve the state. And all through history, the governments would use the state, like Prussia, to raise the citizen up so that no matter what truth was presented to them, they would believe what they were taught by the state. They would be true believers in the state, true disciples of the state, true followers. And Russia, you go all the way through Germany, Russia, all through history, Germany, that was the whole idea of public education until the United States came along. The public school system in all the countries was to have these brainwashed children to be obedient to the state. That's the history of education in the world in a nutshell. And we wanted children raised, what? Noah Webster, people like that, even Thomas Jefferson, the Bible and Watts Hymnal were the two required books in America's school system. We wanted a different type of education controlled by, you know, belief in God. First nation in the world, and we've lost that. And a long time ago, we said we don't need God in school anymore. And when that happened, society has deteriorated since then. When we told God to leave school back in the 80s, it's all gone downhill, somebody said hell in a basket.
Well, China, India, and Asia sent a lot of people over here that got well-educated. And now there's a lot of doctors, and a lot of them went back over they're back to their countries. But we were somewhere along the line doing pretty good. But if people look at Pennsylvania when, you know, the night Trump was winning, and you see that it's like, hey, we just stopped the voting, and all of a sudden, 6 o'clock in the morning, it's like now they're blaming Trump for not coming out early enough and all that. And everybody says, oh, you can't go back there. And you have to go back where something started, because usually the start of the race tells you a lot how it's going to finish. And when you look at everything that's going on right now, I read a paragraph in one of the magazines, I won't mention, but it talks about how Russia, like last September, how Russia is slowly falling apart in the Federation. But there's two names I picked up back in the early 1920s. The person taking over for somebody, his first name was Vladimir. Now the person, supposedly he has all these MS and all this stuff that's supposed to be wrong with him, his name is Vladimir 100 years later. And, you know, the Federal Reserve, there's 100 years. And how things go on and on and on. But Rush Limbaugh said three things. One was, if a Democrat says he's going to do one thing, just believe he's going to do the opposite. And if
exactly. They always accuse our side of doing exactly what they're doing.
And if a Democrat says it's...
That started with way back communism. Always accuse the enemy of doing what you're doing.
If the Democrat said it's going to cost this much, double it. And don't worry about elections until about 2 months out. But the Bible says you're going to live about 70 years, however that refers to. Rush was 70 years old, and all the money in the world, he didn't get checked. And you know, I've had a little connection with that myself, with people I've known. and they're here, and all of a sudden it's like this spitting image of health is like, wow, they're gone in a year and a half. But there's so many things going on right now. People don't understand. If they're not listening to the simplicity that you're saying, then the Bible is right. What is
the God of this world has so blinded the mind and eyes of the people so they cannot see the glorious, light of the gospel. They can't see the truth. Their minds have been blinded. Their eyes have been blinded because it's a spiritual battle. Until this nation understands where it's a spiritual battle first, it's going to continue to get worse.
And it says also in the Bible, not quoted, but meaning in the latter days, what is right, you will be told is wrong, and what is wrong, you will be believed is right. And
exactly. I appreciate your call. I better take a couple more before I get in trouble. Thanks for calling.
Joe, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Hey, Cliff.
Yeah, hi, Joe. There's an article on LifeSite News that was pretty relevant today. You know, you go at the bottom and click, they'll read it to you in a woman's voice. But it said that it cites a talk by a Brian Kennedy in March that he was able to parse through something going back where top Chinese officials said that the U.S. needs to be taken out, and the best way to do it is through biological warfare rather than a direct confrontation where, they could get a nuclear reprisal which could kill half the population of China. And then it goes to Naomi Wolf, who has about a team of 3,000 people going over the Pfizer papers that were forced to be released. And she said that basically the intention of these shots are to kill people and then sterilize women, A and B. And in the United States specifically and the West specifically, and she said also that they've been able to trace that the manufacturing of these shots is being done by China. They've been able to trace through that the ingredients and the shots and these shots are being controlled by China. And there was another article with a Dr. Wright, 32 years old from the UK, died 10 days after taking the first dose of AstraZeneca, and his widow had a medical examiner on the case, and they were able to establish that he was healthy and fit and had developed a blood clot in his brain and other brain issues that killed him right away. And then now she's proceeding with a suit against AstraZeneca and the UK government. And AstraZeneca says, we're saddened by his death, but still the benefits outweigh the risk of this shot.
Yeah, we've heard that one. You covered a lot of ground there. Just remember several things. China long ago realized they wouldn't be able to take America by force.
5 minutes.
And they set their military practices. The warfare can be through the internet, through biological warfare, through psychological warfare. In other words, they look at every area as a battlefield, okay? And they're attacking. Look what they're doing. They make the main ingredient in fentanyl. The Mexican gang turned it into the drug fentanyl. And we're killing hundreds of thousands of young people, getting hundreds of thousands of people addicted. We're destroying a lot of our young people in the country. Everything that happens is for a reason. They're trying to, look, we let China make what, close to 80% of our medications come from China. And the COVID virus came from China. China is doing the Belt and Road Initiative around the world. In fact, just recently, China come out, they're trying to do a peace, they're talking peace with Ukraine and Russia. They were telling the Ukrainians that they will try and work out a peace deal. They're trying to be the leader of the free world right now, And they're trying to break us. They're trying to change our money, make the, instead of the dollar being the money that oil and the major goods of the world, they want the Chinese, yuan, to be the world's currency. So, yeah, all those things are true. They're using every aspect of their copying us. They're stealing from us. They're using every aspect as an act of war, and we haven't figured out we're at war. We still think they're our trading partner, not the nation that's going to overtake and destroy us. And we're kind of stupid that way, aren't we? Gus Southside, who's we got time for one more? Bill, how are you?
Hi, Pastor. Listen, I have a real starker for you. First of all, I have a question. When you went into the FBI, what year was that, more or less, if you can tell me?
What year what?
When you went into the FBI.
Oh, I've never been. The year I went in, no, I've never been in.
Oh, you know, I thought you were. Yeah, because I was going to go in 79. But anyway, I have a real sharker for you. I don't have much time. There wasn't on one of the foreign channels, not on ABC, CBS, or any of those alphabet channels. They actually saw the Dalai Lama stick out his tongue to his kid.
Oh, yeah, to a child.
And he swallowed his tongue. Also, this famous singer, I'm not going to say her name, he was touching her in a private, near her private part. So this world is completely turned around. And I happen to be a retired teacher, and you know that. I wouldn't teach now for $1 million. Or maybe I would, but they wouldn't take me anyway.
I was going to say, they'd fire you real quick, it sounds like. Yeah, but you're right. We're in a battle, and it's a spiritual battle, and Satan wants to control this country and kick God out and let the communists take over, and we better wake up and start fighting back. Thank you for the call. I've got just Kyle, what do I have left for time? Just over a minute. First word of Jesus' ministry was repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I was thinking tonight that all through Scripture, the Lord talks about repent, repent, repent. It's in Revelation before His coming. I'm looking how many times it comes. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. First word He said in was repent, and in Revelation, one of the last things He told us to do was repent. Repent of your sins, call upon the Father, ask Him to forgive you for those sins, and then if you do that with a true repentant heart, you can ask Jesus Christ to come in and be your Savior. Thank you for listening. Good night. God bless, and always, 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 keep
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.